The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Nothing But the Best.
Morning, Miss Mullen.
Good morning, Mr. Spranger.
You're in early today. Come to redeem some of your things, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm in early, but I'm afraid I can't redeem any of my things just yet.
No, you can't.
Not just yet.
Well, that's all right, Mrs. Mullen. There's no hurry, as long as you keep up the interest payments.
Mr. Spranger, I'm afraid I'm not here to make any interest payments either.
A little short of cash again, is that it?
Yes, sir, that's it. You're able to lend me more, aren't you?
That's my business, Miss Mullen. If you have the collateral, I'm able to lend.
Oh, I have that right here, Mr. Spranger.
Mm-hmm. Ah, this is a fine-looking brooch, Miss Mullen.
It is, isn't it? My grandmother gave it to me when I first came to this country.
Mm-hmm.
How much can you lend me on it, Mr. Spranger?
Well, Mr. Callett will have to answer that. He does all our appraising.
Yes, I know.
He won't be in until later in the day. Could you drop back tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Not before then? Mr. Spranger?
Yeah?
I wonder if you could let me have a little something in advance. You see, my boy is visiting me this week.
Oh, sure. I can let you have $50 on account.
Oh, could you, Mr. Spranger? I hate to impose on you.
Not at all. I know how it is. Here you are. 50.
Thank you so much. You're very kind, Mr. Spranger. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, Miss Mullen. I'll phone you as soon as Mr. Callett makes his appraisal.
I'll be waiting to hear. Goodbye.
She was in again.
Yeah, I heard. A brooch this time, huh?
See for yourself. You're to make an appraisal.
Uh-huh. Diamonds, I see. And very real. Harry.
Yeah?
How much stuff has she hocked with us this last 6 months?
I'll tell you exactly. Two bracelets, a necklace, one stick pin, two pair of earrings, and this. 7 items, all told.
Uh-huh. What do you figure she makes over at the Whitley place?
I don't know. What does any housekeeper make? 150, maybe 2 even a month?
That kid of hers, he don't work, does he?
Yeah, young fancy pants. The way I understand it, she wouldn't let him lift a finger to do anything.
Uh-huh. You add it up, Harry.
She's lying through her teeth.
Sure. Her grandmother no more gave her elegant stuff like this than her husband or her uncle did. She's lying about all of them.
You think she's been helping herself to the Whitley safe?
That figures, don't it? They're in Europe half the time, so Mullen helps herself to Huck, intending to put everything back before anybody's the wiser.
Yeah, it figures. Maybe we ought to steer clear, Cal.
Why?
You know why.
Not when there's an airtight angle, I don't.
What kind of angle?
The kind that would give you and me enough green to quit this crummy business and move into the big time. Now, we're not steering clear, Harry. Not while we've got us an airtight angle right where we want her.
Not all of the criminal records in the files of your FBI are categorized as underworld activity. Many classifications reveal the extensive existence of so-called upper-world crimes, which start at the petty level and have comparatively low social visibility. Crimes of this nature are governed rather by emotional variance than moral failure. And it was just such a variant that governed the criminal behavior of an otherwise normal woman named Martha Mullen, driving her beyond her means and herself with a compelling and overpowering wish to provide her son with nothing but the best.
And I told the butcher, I said, Mr. Hoffman, I don't care how much they cost. I want those chops to be grade A and extra thick. My boy's visiting me, I said, and nothing's too good for him.
Yeah, so... sure, Ma, sure. Pour me another little nip out of that bottle like a good girl, hmm?
Perry, don't you think...
Don't I think what? That I've had enough already? Come on now, Ma. School term's over, class dismissed. No more lectures, okay?
All right, dear. I only say...
Well, don't. I'm no kid anymore, you know?
I know. With water? Soda?
No, straight. I didn't drive all the way to see you to be told what to do and what not to do. They don't treat me that way at the college.
I know, Perry. I'll try to remember you're a big grown man now. Finish your chop. It's getting cold.
I've had enough, thanks. I'm late as it is.
Oh, you're not going so soon?
Ma, I told you. I brought a date along with me. I can't just leave her sitting around the hotel, can I?
Oh, Perry.
Well, can I?
No, of course not.
Now, Ma, we agreed no more lectures.
But if you brought a young lady with you, why didn't you bring her here? The Whitleys are away, and I had plenty of...
Bring her here? Oh, sure. That's all I need. Are you drinking that, or is it for me?
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Here you are.
Thanks. Bring Joanne Evans into a kitchen to eat. I can just see myself. What'd you do, fill this glass with an eyedropper?
I...
Kitchen's no place for a girl like Joanne. Someone like you, okay, but a girl like...
Perry.
The... Well, now, Ma, I didn't mean that the way it sounded. I only meant...
I know what you meant. I'm sorry. I'm only in a kitchen so that you'd never have to
be. Oh, now, Ma.
So that you wouldn't have to work yourself to death in a coal mine like your father. So that you could go to college and have money in your pocket to entertain girls like Joanne Evans.
Let's leave her out of this.
If I'd kept the money for myself, maybe then you wouldn't be ashamed of me.
I'm not ashamed of you.
You are. You're ashamed you have a housekeeper for a mother.
Ma,
just because I work. I'm not good enough to be in the same room with your society friends.
That isn't true, Ma.
Go run along, Perry. You'll find a little something in your coat pocket.
Hmm?
A young man has to show his girl a nice time. It's only $50.
Oh, Ma. You're too good to me. Much too good.
Sure, I am.
I shouldn't let you. I should be taking care of you.
Buy her some flowers, Perry. A girl enjoys flowers.
Ma, I've been thinking. I could leave college and go to work. My roommate's
Please
father...
Please don't talk that way. You know, that's the last thing I'd want.
Well, I could.
Oh, darling, run along, please. Pretty girl shouldn't be kept waiting.
Okay, Ma.
Don't you worry about work or money or anything. There's enough left from your father's insurance for that.
Ma.
He wanted you to have everything he didn't have, and so do I. That's the way it's going to be. The best for you always, Perry. And not one tiny bit less.
Good morning, miss. We have an appointment with Mr. Darrow. We're from the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Sit down, gentlemen. Sit down, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's on your mind? Either of you smoke?
Not just at the moment.
Mr. Reynolds?
I'll take one, thanks.
Now, there's a lighter right next to you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Stevens.
Not at all. Mr. Darrow, we understand your partner doesn't return from Europe for another month.
Yes?
You're familiar with his business affairs, I assume?
I'd say I am, certainly.
His home life?
Don't tell me a conservative man like Gordon Whitley is in any kind of trouble. I refuse to believe it.
That's so?
Gentlemen, Mr. Whitley is a good deal more than my business partner. We've been close personal friends for over 30 years.
I see. No, of course, Mr. Whitley's in no kind of trouble. On the contrary.
Well, now, that's almost too bad. When I heard FBI, I was kind of hoping for a little excitement.
I said Mr. Whitley's in no kind of trouble. I didn't say no excitement.
Oh?
Will you take a look at this, Mr. Darrow?
Hmm?
Recognize it?
Should I?
Mr. Darrow, that bracelet was found in the possession of a fence who's been on our wanted list for some time. He was apprehended in Ohio, and our Dayton field office traced the bracelet to Carter's jewelry store here in town.
So?
Carter's recognized it at once and produced a record of sale dated June 1953. The purchaser was a woman customer named Mrs. Gordon Whitley.
Could I have another look at that bracelet, Mr. Reynolds?
Here you are, certainly.
I think I do recall seeing something like this on Judith. I couldn't be sure. What I can understand...
is how a bracelet belonging to Mrs. Whitley could get in the hands of a fence.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon and Judith both have vault boxes at the Second National Bank and...
Mr. Darrow.
Yes?
Don't they also have a private safe in their home?
I see. Yes, they do.
Who'd have access to that safe, Mr. Darrow?
Access? Well, the Whitleys maintain a large household. When they're at home, there's a maid, butler, chauffeur, the housekeeper, two groundspeople, private secretary. I suppose any one of them would have access. And, of course, I, myself, I've always had the combination.
We'll excuse yourself in this instance, Mr. Darrow.
Thank you. You think perhaps that one of them...
We don't really think anything yet.
Of course, Carter's could be an error. The bracelet could be a similar one to Judith Whitley's.
Yes, it could. But a necklace and a pair of earrings were found in the same hall, and Carter's identified those as well.
I see. Well, just what is it that you would like me to do, gentlemen?
First, we'd like to be certain Carter's is not in error. A check with the insurance people will tell us what's supposed to be in the home safe. Since you have the combination, we'd like you to select a time when no one is in the house and determine what, if anything, is missing.
Very well. Then?
Then we'd like you to do nothing, Mr. Darrow. If you find what we believe you'll find, we'll take it from there. And I'm sure we'll soon enough know who's helping themselves to the Whitley jewelry and where they're getting rid of it.
Harry.
Yeah?
We're ready to roll. Better get on the phone, call your friend Mullen, tell her we want to see her.
She's not going to be too happy when she finds out we sold her stuff.
She's not going to find out. But you're right. She's not going to be too happy, no matter how you look at it.
Good afternoon, Mr. Spranger. I'm sorry I took so long getting here, but I had to lock up the house.
No, that's all right, Mrs. Mullen.
You wanted to see me?
Mr. Callett did. Come on in the back and we'll sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Spranger, but I'm afraid I can't stay very long.
Well, this won't take long. Your boy is still in town, eh?
Yes, sir, he is.
Well, that's fine. After you.
Thank you.
Cal, I don't believe you ever met Mrs. Mullen personal. Miss Mullen is my partner, Mr. Kellett.
How do you do, sir?
Mrs. Mullen, a real pleasure. I heard so much about you, I'm glad we finally got to meet. Harry, a chair for the nice lady.
And Mrs. Mullen's son is visiting her, Cal. I'm afraid she can't stay too long.
Oh? Well, then we'll skip the social and get right down to business, Mrs. Mullen. We got quite a lot of your loan slips on hand. In fact, about, how much worth, Harry?
$4,475.
$4,400? Goodness, is it that much?
Including the $500 we allowed you on that brooch, it's that much.
What are you going to do about it, Mrs. Mullen?
Beg pardon?
When are you going to redeem the articles? We can't carry you on our books forever.
But Mr. Spranger told me as long as I kept up my interest payment...
I can't help what Mr. Spranger told you. The fact is, either you redeem your articles or I've got the right to sell them, as our contract stipulates.
Sell them?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Mullen. I thought we could carry you a while longer...
Never mind, you thought. This is a business, not a charity institute. Now, here's a checkbook and a pen, Mrs. Mullen. If you'll just make us out a check for $4,475, we'll return your articles to you, and that'll be that. Mrs. Mullen?
I can't make out a check, Mr. Callett. I don't have anywhere near that kind of money.
Oh, you don't?
No, sir. And I still don't understand why you suddenly want your money.
You don't, huh? Well, perhaps you'll understand why I suddenly don't want to maintain stolen property in my shop.
What?
Stolen property, Mrs. Mullen. You did pawn articles you swiped from the Whitley safe, didn't you?
Mr. Cal...
Well, didn't you?
Mr. Cal, I didn't come here to be insulted.
Oh, stow it, lady.
I'm going to leave now.
You're going to stay right where you are and shut up.
Really, Mr. Spranger, I don't know what this is all about.
Okay, I'll put it to you so you'll know real good. You're in a spot, Mrs. Mullen, really up the creek.
But I'm going to redeem my things. I'll get the money. Just give me a little time.
Come on, Cal, get it over.
Mr. Callett, listen to me.
You listen, Mrs. Mullen. All I got to do is sell these jewels. Then when the Whitleys come back and find them gone, what happens?
Mr. Callett, you can't sell them. All right. I did borrow one or two of Miss Whitley's things, but I did, but I was going to put it all back.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's always going to put back.
You've got to help me, Mr. Callett. Mr. Spranger.
Sure. That's just what we're going to do, Mrs. Mullen. Help you.
What?
Help you and us, too, and nobody will ever know the difference. How do you like that, huh?
Mr. Callett.
And all you got to do is play dead.
Play dead?
Yeah. For a business associate of ours from Detroit. This associate is what you might call a jewel exporter, Mrs. Mullen.
I don't understand.
It's simple. All you got to do is leave a door or window unlocked at the house some night next week. Before he taps you with a gun butt on the noggin, our associate ties you up nice and comfy in an easy chair. Then he goes over to the wall safe and exports all the jewels from inside.
Mr. Kelly.
When you come to, the safe is empty. Nobody knows any of the contents was filched before our associate come around. You're all square on our books and the Whitleys to boot. Now, what do you say?
Mrs. Mullen?
She says yes, Harry. What else? Like I told her, she's in a spot really up the creek. What else can she say?
Ma. Ma, I can't believe it.
I know. Only it's the truth.
You, of all people, always preaching thrift to me. Hawking things.
I couldn't help it, Perry.
Couldn't help it?
There was so much I wanted for you. So very much.
You're not blaming me now.
No, no, of course not.
You wanted so much for me that you had to stoop to pawning. Pawning and lying that the money was coming from the insurance.
Oh, please don't, Perry, please.
How much do you owe those loan sharks?
$4,500.
$4,000?
$1,500 for Mr. Callett and Mr. Spranger, and the rest I borrowed from someone else.
From who?
I can't tell you, Perry. I only told you this much because I'm desperate. I've got to get the money somewhere.
From where?
Well, I thought...
Yes?
Perhaps... Well, I thought maybe the car would bring some of it.
The car?
Yes,
You'd think I'd go to Joanne Evans and say we've got to go back by bus? I've got to sell my car because my mother needs the money?
You couldn't do that, Perry?
You know I couldn't, Ma. What would Joanne think of me?
I never thought of it that way.
Well, of course you didn't, or you'd never ask me such a thing.
Perry...
There must be other ways of getting money. Certainly, after all these years, the Whitleys...
All right, Perry. All right.
Well, you do understand, don't you, Ma? I'd do anything in the world for you. You know that.
Of course, dear, I understand.
Really?
Yes, really. Now, don't you worry your head about it anymore. I never should have told you in the first place.
Of course. If there isn't any other way of getting it, well, then naturally I'll sell the car.
Perry.
All you have to do is say so, that's all.
No. No, it's all right, dear. There's another way.
Oh, there is.
Yes, Perry. You don't have to think about it anymore. There is one other way.
And there's the result of our investigation, Mr. Darrow. As you see from the reports, it narrows down pretty much to one person.
Yes, I see. Evidently, she's been making frequent visits to this loan shop. At least so it seemed from the greetings she received.
It's difficult to believe. Mrs. Mullen has been with the Whitley family ever since I can remember, virtually a fixture.
The Whitleys would trust her completely, wouldn't they?
Yes, they would, completely. For that matter, so would I.
I understand.
It doesn't seem possible. I've eaten Martha Mullen's dinners I don't know how many times. It just doesn't seem... I guess you people are up against this sort of thing all the time.
We are, Mr. Darrow. Very rarely, if ever, does it seem possible.
You're sure, then, that she's the one responsible?
The evidence is very strong, but I wouldn't say we're sure. We don't know all the facts yet. With your permission, we're going to keep a round-the-clock surveillance on Mrs. Mullen.
Well, of course. But I still
feel... I think we know how you feel, Mr. Darrow. But with a round-the-clock surveillance, we will know for sure, one way or the other.
This is the Whitley residence.
Mrs. Mullen, this is Mr. Callett speaking.
Yes, Mr. Callett.
Is everything set for tonight, Mrs. Mullen?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, you left that downstairs window unlocked like you told me.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Our business associate left the shop half an hour ago. He should be there pretty quick. You'll be ready for him when he arrives.
Yes, I guess so.
Name's Murdoch. Joe Murdoch. You do everything just the way he tells you. Goodbye, Mrs. Mullen. This time tomorrow, you'll be in the clear with not a worry in the world.
Goodbye, Mr. Callett.
Good evening, Martha.
Mr. Darrow. Goodness, you frightened me. I hardly expected to see you standing there.
I'm sure of that, Martha. Come on in, Mr. Stevens.
If I'd known you were coming here tonight, Mr. Darrow...
You wouldn't have spoken that way to Mr. Callett, would you?
Mr. Darrow.
Martha, I want you to meet Mr. Stevens.
How do you do, sir? Mr. Darrow.
Mr. Stevens is an agent of the FBI.
What?
You've been under his observation for the last several days, Martha. I regret having to tell you you're going to be held on charges of theft.
Oh, no.
Mrs. Mullen, we just listened in on your phone conversation. Did you leave a window unlocked so your caller could stage a fake robbery? Mrs. Mullen?
I don't know. I don't know anything. Oh, Mr. Darrow, I...
It'll be easier if you tell us the truth, Martha.
Help me, Mr. Darrow. Please help me.
I'll do what I can for you, I promise, but you must tell us the truth.
You took several of Mrs. Whitley's jewels from the safe, didn't you, Mrs. Mullen? And pawned them through Mr. Callett?
You did, didn't you, Martha?
Yes, but don't let them take me away. Please don't. My son couldn't bear the disgrace.
Mrs. Mullen.
Yes?
Mr. Callett said Joe Murdoch would be here any minute.
Oh, you mustn't let him in. He'll have a gun. He's a danger.
It is a robbery, isn't it, Mrs. Mullen?
Yes, but I only wanted to redeem the jewels. Mr. Spranger said if I didn't cooperate...
Mr. Spranger? Callett's partner?
Yes, he said if I didn't cooperate, if I didn't let this man come in here tonight...
We're lying to you, Mrs. Mullen. You couldn't have redeemed the jewels even if you'd had the money.
What?
That's right, Martha. They'd already sold the jewels long ago.
Already sold the jewels, but I...
There isn't any time for any more talk right now. I think we're about to have a visitor.
Huh?
Over there, just outside that window. Mrs. Mullen, I'm going to ask you to cooperate with us. Are you willing to do that?
Yes, sir. Yes, anything you want.
When Murdoch comes through that window, answer him just as if no one else were here.
Answer him?
That's right. We'll be in back of this archway. You don't have to be frightened.
But he'll have a gun.
There isn't time for more talk, Mrs. Mullen. You say you're willing. This is your chance, Mr. Darrow.
I'm with you. Don't be frightened, Martha. We'll be right here.
Mrs. Mullen? Mrs. Mullen?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So why didn't you answer? I thought you...
She had a good reason, Murdoch. Drop your gun.
What?
You're covered. Drop your gun. This is a federal officer.
It's all right, Martha. Let him go.
He won't get far, Mrs. Mullen. Don't worry.
Stop, Murdoch! Stop, we'll shoot!
You know what you can do, copper!
Okay, you ask for a pink back.
Okay, don't get so jumpy.
Take care of it, Mac.
Everything all right here, Steve?
Right, Dave. Well, Mr. Darrow, I guess that's that. Mrs. Mullen, that was fine. Everything's all clear now.
Yes. Yes, everything's all clear now.
In the disposition of the case against Martha Mullen, Joe Murdoch was indicted for attempted armed robbery, and Callett and Harry Spranger for the sale and possession of stolen property. Mrs. Mullen, although aiding the government in the prosecution, was indicted for theft and subsequently served a 1-year term in prison for her ill-fated effort to provide her son with nothing but the best.
This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.